Crypto Content Creator Show is Podcast 2.0 enabled with chapter graphics and links. Get the very best experience with a Podcast 2.0 app, which can be found at newpodcastapps.com. Welcome, everybody, to the Crypto Content Creator Show. I am Jennifer Navarrete, and I am joined by my co-host, Shane Mata. Shane Mata, welcome, everyone.
Welcome, everybody. It's nice to have you back on the show. We had a great response in the previous episode, so we want to see if we can top that one a little bit.
We can try. Yeah. So, okay. Well, what's happened? I mean, what's happened since we were last together?
Well, I think the most of the work that we went into was you trying to get us onto the podcast platforms, the RSS feeds, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so I think one of the challenges now we have is trying to line up people to interview for the show. So we're open to suggestions, ideas of who would make a good guest on the show. Today's going to be me just to kind of work through some of the information, some of the basic knowledge of getting started on Hive. But I don't know, what else, what did you have going on this past week?
So like you mentioned, it was really getting us onto like the podcast index, which is part of podcasting 2.0, mm-hmm. Getting us on Google, iHeartRadio, you know, some of the normal standard places, you know, we're adding and adding and adding and submitting and waiting to hear back. And it was also getting the first video up on YouTube and then, of course, converting that into a podcast and, you know, all the stuff that you know, it takes, you know, getting posting stuff on the social media and posting stuff on, you know, in Hive and in Minds. So there was a lot that you and I were doing in the background, you know, prepping for what's going on. And we told you guys that we were going to be flying the plane and we were going to be building the plane and we were going to take you on the journey. So you'll probably notice that if you go to the cryptocontentcreators.com website, that it looks a little bit different. You probably noticed that there's new imagery that's being released to kind of promote the show. And Shane and I were joking around about the fact that the photos that we're using, I said, we look like lawyers or something on these photos. So it's still a work in progress. We're not there yet, but we are not lawyers, nor have we ever played lawyers on TV, even if the graphics that we have look like that now. But I imagine that changing. I kind of like the idea maybe of someone cartooning our pictures and making it something more fun. Cause right now we look very serious.
Yeah. But, and if you've been injured, don't call us. So, you know, that reminds me, you were talking about the podcast index. I was telling you earlier that, the podcast index is working right now with ThreeSpeak to what do you call it? They have the RSS feed go from all the videos you post on ThreeSpeak to go into the podcast index. So people can use podcatchers to watch or listen to your content. And so that's going to be a big advancement for the platform so that people can find our content, our media out there who may not necessarily be on Hive. They'll be, you know, listening to podcasts and they will be able to find your videos or other posts.
Well, and so what we didn't say was what ThreeSpeak is.
That's right. So,
okay, folks, remember how Shane said that I needed to be able to stop him from being too nerdy and too geeky? And so I'm here to kind of pull him back. This is a moment like that. So Shane, can you please explain to our audience what ThreeSpeak is and why we should be excited about this?
Well, yeah, you're right. So ThreeSpeak is well, I guess the easiest thing is we know social media by some other websites. For example, Facebook would be what Hive is, where you can post photos and videos and things like that on the platform, and people can like your posts, people can leave comments, you can reply, like each other's replies, things like that, upvotes. Well, there's also a YouTube-like version of Hive. It's the same blockchain, but ThreeSpeak is the YouTube of Hive, basically. So you can post your videos up there. What? Yes,
you in the back. ThreeSpeak is not the only video platform on Hive, though. Am I correct on this?
You're right. DLive is also on Hive. I haven't been able to use DLive lately because they changed something in the rewards and I don't have resources. It's not to say that don't use it. It's just that I tend not to use it because I've, kind of locked out where it was for a while. So I just haven't checked back. But you're right. So it is possible to have multiple platforms have content for Hive. And mm-hmm. so DLive, is it DLive? Now you got me thinking about that. Yeah.
Well, there is something called DLive. I think
it's DTube.
DTube, it is DTube, but DLive's a different thing. I was gonna say that's where a lot of gamers are.
Well, no, it's because I think DLive was actually on Steam for a while. And before they went and did their own, so they had their own blockchain, or they came up with their own blockchain, and then I think that's when it was a very popular YouTube guy. I forget
Mr.
his name.
Beast?
No,
not him. That's like
millions
of
followers. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the most popular YouTube guy. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Well, but he left YouTube and went over to DLive, and I don't know what's happened to him since then. But
let me give the real world comparison here.
Sure.
So YouTube is not the only video platform out there, right? There's Vimeo,
right?
There's a lot of others out there. So in the crypto space, it's very similar. You can have something like a ThreeSpeak. You can have something like a DTube. You can have something like any number. Insert, you know, blockchain video platform here. So it's very much in the real world. And I want to give these real world comparisons because the fact is that when it comes to blockchain and crypto and creating content and participating in this space, people mm-hmm. kind of, they get their eyes glazed over and they are not quite sure what to make of it. So I like to give the normal comparison. So that way it makes it not such a heavy lift.
Sure. And I think some of this is going to bleed over into the interview, but so basically you're right, there are comparable websites that use Hive to that allow you to share things like you would normally on other websites, like Twitter, for example. There's DBuzz, which is a similar type of website, but it's the same logins as your Hive account. So you have the same people that you follow there or the same people you follow on ThreeSpeak or on any other what they call a front end for Hive. And so it simplifies it for you, but it also kind of, I suppose it can be confusing.
Right. Because right now, if I want to go to Twitter, I have a separate login to Twitter. If I want to go to YouTube, I have a separate login for YouTube. And so we're very accustomed, Instagram, you know, you name it. So we're very accustomed now with traditional social media in knowing that these are all different companies and all different platforms. And then it's very different to gain access. However, when you're inside of an ecosystem like Hive, which, you know, is a blockchain that has lots of different, like they have like 100 and something different things that you can do there. There's gaming, you know, aspects, there's foodie things, there's a lot there. So don't want to lose you. But just so that you know, what Shane's talking about is that imagine having the one login to rule them all. In which case, if you participate in the Hive ecosystem, if you're in that space, you do have the one login to rule them all, and you can participate in all manner of platforms. You know, if you like to do cooking, there's foodie areas. If you like to do finance, there's areas for that too, but it's all the same login. And in that way, it's very liberating because you only have to remember one thing. And really, if you've got your keychain, you don't even have to remember that.
That's right. And so it's something that maybe in a later episode we can explore on using the keychain to manage your account or accounts because you may have alter egos that you flip back and forth on. So like, for example, we have the crypto content creators. Hey, I said that right. We have the crypto content creators account, but then we have our own accounts. And so having the keychain, which is an extension on your browser, allows you to switch back and forth between different profiles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so again, if you're feeling like, oh, that's kind of overwhelming, you know, we've got, you know, between now and the end of August to kind of, you know, ease you into this. But what we're really wanting to do is just encourage you to explore the space, because even though you may not understand it, in my experience, one of the best ways to understand something and to dip your toe into the stream and just ease your way into it to get a sense of it, because that's what I've been doing since March in a more serious capacity, you know, really trying to kind of get a sense of how it works. And then trying to, in my own mind, do that comparison between the traditional social media, how I participate and behave there, and then how do I behave and participate in creating content inside of Hive using things like DBuzz or creating posts and doing that side-by-side comparison, which has been really valuable. We'll talk more about that later when we enter our value for value segment. But for now, Shane, wait, before I dive into the interview, any last things you want to say before I put you in the hot seat?
No, I think I'm prepared. I'm ready for the grilling.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. Well, okay. So the reason why I wanted to have Shane in here is because when it comes to content creation, he's been doing it the longest out of the two of us, and he's been doing it consistently and doing it well. And so he's got a base of knowledge and experience that myself and for those of you new to the space don't have. And as long as I've known Shane, he's always coming, approaching things from a content creation aspect and then trying to figure out how he can gain value from it or where the value is. And sometimes it's just pure entertainment value, but sometimes there is monetary value. And in this case, when you participate inside of the blockchain, there is an opportunity for that. It's not guaranteed. It's nothing like that. And so we're going to kind of dive into it. Now, if you have questions after my questions that I've asked, if you'd like to put them in the comments, that would be fabulous. We'd love to do that. We can come back later. But so Shane, first of all, thank you so much for agreeing to this interview.
Well, you're welcome.
You kind of didn't have a choice.
You can have me over anytime.
So talk to me about your introduction to the crypto content creation space, because most folks have never heard of it ever. And yet you've been actively participating in this space for years. How did you hear about it, and what was it about it that attracted you?
Well, what attracted me initially was censorship resistance. I think I mentioned in the previous episode that I had posted on the YouTube page that I thought I owned that go vote, go out and vote. I put a photo of a sticker that says I voted, and Facebook didn't like that, so they took the post down. And so if something innocuous like that triggers censors to come in and remove content, I thought I'm not safe on Facebook, So it kind of kicked me off to find alternatives that were more censorship resistant. And so that's where I started looking around. And actually, from looking around, I stumbled upon Steemit. And that's where we got started. So if you're new to this, so Steem was the first version of Hive. There was a disagreement at some point, and most of us broke off from Steem and forked the chain and became Hive. So most of the top content creators left Steem and have continued with the Hive branch of the blockchain. So anyways, that's what got me in on the first place, was a concern about censorship, which kind of leads us to the idea of what it is, if that's where you're kind of heading.
You did mention that last time, and I think a lot of folks are starting to go find alternative places where they can speak without having a concern that it can be taken away. And not that, like mm-hmm. you said, we're not saying anything, this is, terrible. No, go vote. It's simple. It doesn't matter who you vote for. The idea was to vote. And the fact that something that simple could be taken down, it is definitely something where you're looking for an opportunity to express yourself in a way that is not, that's not going to happen. So, when we look at getting started, you where did you make the decision? Because there's a lot out there. What was it about Hive, other than the fact that it forked, that kept you there? Because things can fork and shift and you don't have to stick there. But apparently there was something special about Hive that has made you stay.
To be honest, I didn't just pick Hive. I tried different websites out there. There was some different ones. So I tried Minds. I tried Hive. There was another one. I can't remember the name of it. I think it was called Nerve or something like that. I think Chris Perillo was involved somehow as one of the founders of the platform. But anyways, you would get rewarded for posting content. And that was kind of a thing. I think they were doing a lot of ICOs at the time. And so all these different projects, and they wound up folding a lot of them. And Steem just seemed to be able to hang in there and stick around. I guess it was the more thought out one. And there's even new ones still coming out. For example, on the EOS blockchain, they're coming out with voice.com, which is, they came up with one version, and I guess the experiment didn't yield to give the results they wanted. So they took it back to the shop and they're rebuilding it. So later on, they'll open it up again to us, to try it out. But I mean, so it's not a done deal, but Hive seems to have to be the one with the most, it's just endured the longest. And it's kind of like with Bitcoin, the longer it lives, the more likely it's going to live, even longer. So we're getting, I think they call it the Lindy effect or something like that, where it just, yeah, I'm thinking Triple Lindy from Back to School.
Me too.
Yeah. So it just has that longevity so far. And so that's what makes it popular or made it good for me. At first, I wasn't actually sure if it was going to make it or if I was going to make it on the platform because... So at the time, Minds had a discussion about how they were going to do their rewards because they do their rewards differently from the way Hive does it. And so on Hive, the thing is that the bigger your account grows, the more influence you have on the network. So the more Hive tokens you have staked, the more your vote counts, and the more rewards you can give other people when you upvote their content, right? Hmm. And so it also means that when people upvote your stuff, you get more rewards as well. So it's kind of like the criticism that often comes about is, you know, well, the rich get richer, right? And so...
Well, but okay, let me stop you there. If I just heard, I want to make sure I heard you right. So if somebody is someone who has more influence or where their vote counts more and they come mm-hmm. to a post and they upvote it, then it isn't just that the rich get richer. It's that they then share that wealth with the people that they upvote. Does that sound right, right. or am I off the mark?
No, you got it exactly. And so that's one of the kind of the counter arguments is that, well, yeah, maybe they have more influence, but they're actually able to affect other smaller accounts better or, you know, help other people more because their vote counts more, right? So they can pay out the rewards a little bit more to whoever they run into. So with that in mind, so that was, I forget what the question was. Sorry.
What made you decide to stay in Hive? Okay. Because I'll tell you my own experience. Yeah. Hive is so opportunity rich. And I say that because there's so many, like I said earlier, if I'm a photographer, there's a community for photographers. If I'm into mm-hmm. food, there's a group for that. If I like to do videos, there's several groups for that. There's so many different places that I can go within just Hive that for me, because it's very feature rich and community rich, it makes me want to stay there more and longer. And I'm still at the very beginning stages. I mean, if you go look at me on there on Hive, you're going to notice that I started a brand new account in March after I talked to Shane. And I've just been like very slowly just posting things, trying to get a sense of the lay of the land. And I like what I see, even at this very slow, measured pace. The more that I do it, the more I want to do it because I see the reward and I see the benefit and I see the community. So for me, I like it because it's feature rich. I also have an account mm-hmm. on Steemit that I did like years ago that I've abandoned since because it never really made sense to me. And I have accounts on Minds, which I created years ago, and I abandoned it because it never really made sense to me. But Hive makes sense to me. And so I feel like if you can find something that makes sense to you, mm-hmm. then go all out and enjoy the experience. So I feel like we're getting like there's a lot of terminology. I'm hearing us both say a lot of terminology, and I'm guessing the average bear has no idea what we're talking about. So what I may do is, do you remember on VH1 when they had the little pop up little things to explain what was going on?
Pop up video.
I may have to do pop up video at the bottom here that shows like when you said ICO, that says it just goes ding. This is what ICO.
I don't know. That sounds like a lot of post production to me.
it does. We'll see. Maybe we'll get there. We'll see. Anyway, but if folks would appreciate that, I'm willing to do it just because we want folks to learn, you know, so that we're sharing this so that we can all learn more and we can all grow better. So let us know what you like. If you'd like something like that, I'm happy to throw that in there because eventually, as we use this terminology, more folks are going to know what it is. And then it's not going to be, you know, something that we have to explain all the time. But in these early stages, it might be something worth pursuing just in the interest of keeping everybody on the same page. So that's why in Hive, and it sounds like that's also another factor for you. But let's talk a little bit about I have something here that says word of caution. I have a bullet point here that says word of caution. And so I'm like, ooh, this is interesting. So what's the word of caution?
Well, firstly, I guess just the recognition that this is crypto related. Okay, so if you're not into crypto, you might want to kind of keep in mind that there's tax consequences to being part of Hive because you are earning rewards. And at first, when you first start off, it's nothing. It's literally nothing. You may get a bunch of likes, but because your account is so small, the rewards don't really add up to anything. So that's where, as a newbie, you kind of count on the bigger accounts to help you out, to kind of kick you off. But the point is that if you do earn some money, then that's actually income. And depending on where you live, there could be tax consequences on that. So you need to be very good about keeping track of how much you're earning. So then at that point, you have a couple of choices, because the way that Hive works is that when you're typing out your blog post or doing your video and all that, that is mining. So unlike Bitcoin, where you need a computer with superpowers and an internet connection, on Hive, the actual posting of your content, that is mining. It's called, the way that they've figured it out is called proof of brain. So you're showing or demonstrating that you're a person, right? And so that's how the blockchain rewards you, is for your efforts. And so the way that mining is taxed in the United States, at least, is regular income. So with that
we're not tax accountants or bookkeepers, nor have we also not played them on TV. Right. So you should definitely consult your tax professional before, you know, and consult your financial advisors when you're making these decisions. Yeah. So just be warned. And I think word of caution is definitely something folks need to consider, because it's a little kumbaya when it comes to crypto and content creation. At least I feel that way. But it is financial. It can be financial. And so be mindful of that.
Right. And so with that, I mean, it's the word of caution. Just think of, so if you've already dipped your feet. Into the crypto currencies, then you're not any worse off by getting into Hive. But so it's not just, again, just not rainbows and unicorns. You can be on there anonymously, but at some point you're going to want to cash out. And so, you know, you have all these prior years of income that you may not have reported, right? So what are you going to do then? So just be cautious about that sort of thing.
That's good. That's good. And then I noticed here you talk about you have to have having an account. You have to be really responsible with it. So can you share with that? Share with our audience what that means.
Sure. So the biggest problem, and some of the problems have been resolved by the people who created Hive in the first place, or who created Steam. One of the problems is, of course, with any crypto, is that they say that if you don't have the keys, it's not your account. And they say that typically because, like, at the bank, the money that's in the bank doesn't belong to you. It's owed to you, but it belongs to the bank because you put it in their account, right? And with crypto is different, because if you have the key to your wallet, you own that money. And because only you can take it out, nobody else can do anything with it except for you. But if you lose the key, then that's where the responsibility comes in, because if you lose that key, there's no way of getting it back. And yeah. So Hive,
there's
is
a
the
lot
same
of
way.
Stories of that. There's a lot of stories of people who had Bitcoin inside of old computers or inside of old, cold storage wallets. And now they forgot what the password was. So even though they may have lots of Bitcoin in there, and in theory, they're right. Very wealthy, if they can't actually gain access to it, they're not.
Exactly. So that's one of the responsibilities that you have, is that you need to guard that key to get into your account. Or actually, you get five keys. You get a master key that opens up everything. You get a posting key, which you can delegate to other websites to post on your behalf, or you can just log in with that as a. I guess all they can do is post. There's an active key, which I never figured out what that does. It has something to do with your wallet.
So we're still learning, folks. We're still learning.
Yeah. There's another one. I forget what it is. There's the owner key, which is kind of like an admin, but it's not the master. It's a little bit below the master. And then there's a memo key, which you can use to send messages to other people. And then so there's a way for you to send messages by sending a 0.001 Hive. And then you can encrypt it. So you need that key to decrypt the message on the other end.
So what is one of your lessons learned, I would say? I mean, because probably folks are like, this sounds pretty good, Jennifer and Shane, but what's the one thing that you wish you had known before you had to actually live it?
So actually, I gave this a lot of thought because, so I remember I was telling you that when I first started off, you know, it takes forever. Your first year, 2 years are tough because your account's so small that anything you post, it robs you of any motivation because it's just you and nobody knows you yet. And your rewards are so tiny, it's not even worth it, you know, to spend an hour on a blog post because if you're going to make 5 cents, you know, at least in the United States, that's not much. So I think my biggest lesson learned was I probably should have started it with friends, with other people who we could kind of encourage each other and like each other's posts and we could have some banter, or at least made friends sooner on, you know, try to make friends at least on the blockchain or on Hive, because then that would have made it more pleasant and less of a chore to try to create content, you know, regularly. And so I think that helped me back a lot at the beginning. So fortunately for me, and I guess it's another lesson, is that I was impatient and I wasn't willing to just sit there and type and type and type until I built something, you know, big. So I actually put in money. Every paycheck or every week, I would put in like $25, $20, and I started building it up that way. And so that moved me up the ranks a little bit faster. So if you want to do it that way, you know, it's possible. You can either grow it organically or you can buy into it and just make a big account to start off.
You know, you bring up a really good point, though, because and actually, you know what? Let's go ahead and show the crypto content creators on Hive so folks can see a little bit about what we're talking about.
Okay.
All right. So this is our account on Hive. This is our blog. Our posts are there as well. And this is brand new. I mean, we just started. Remember, we're building the plane and flying it at the same time. And it shows when we joined. So you'll see what Shane has posted for the account if you scroll down, what he started out with. And so talk to me a little bit about, you know, this whole concept of you just saying, hey, I'm going to post my first post and what your thoughts were in creating that post.
Actually, I didn't think about this one because most new accounts, there is a tag that you can follow. I think it's called introduce yourself or something like that, where your very first post, you put that on there. And there's people actually actively looking for new people posting and they will come in and welcome you. They kind of give you a boost at the beginning. And get you started so that way you have enough resources to be able to post. And that's another thing I didn't mention is that, sorry to take this detour, is that when you're first starting off, you don't have a lot of resources to post. So you can only post maybe once or twice a day at the most. And then you have to let the account rest to build up more resources to be able to post again. So at some point, you're not able to vote or post or comment or anything like that until it refills. So in any case, so in this post, we did have, I don't know if you can see it here, 84 votes, but I did have introduce yourself. Okay, so as you can see, that did pretty well because as the community is pretty good about welcoming newcomers. So out of those 84 votes, the approximate total of value of Hive earned is about $5.93.
Oh, wait, are we talking about value for value, Shane?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if we're talking about value for value, then we've got to bring in our theme music for our value to value segment. Folks, this is an opportunity for us to show you in real time that when we're creating content that other folks find value in, that they upvote and reward us for it. And that is that whole concept of a crypto content creation. You're creating content on the blockchain, or in this case in Hive, and folks will reward you for it if they find what you posted has any value.
Exactly. So here I pulled up the Hive wallet So it's the crypto content creators wallet. And you can see that we have a total of 15 Hive powered up. And that doesn't include stuff that's still coming in. So we'll have to do that later. And $1.48 in Hive-based dollars. We should talk about that at some point, about Hive and HBD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, we could do another segment that's just on defining these pieces. We need to do a techie geeky segment that we're going to, and maybe that's what we'll do, is we'll add a strictly techie geeky segment. And that way folks are able to kind of, you know, get the fast track into some of the terminology and then where they should be paying attention.
Right. So it does give us an estimated amount that the account is worth. This will change because the price of Hive goes up and down. So the estimated account value will change over time. But for today, on the 17th of July, it's $6.48. Mm-hmm. And some of that came in from, can't see this, this is on the way. Initially, when I opened up the account, I put in 11 Hive. So to kind of get us started, so that we wouldn't run out of resources. And let's see. Now, did you want to go over your account, showing the difference between
Hive and... So this week, you asked me what I was doing this week, and one of the things I did was I did a side-by-side comparison of a post that had the same image and pretty much the same message, which if you click on, it says the bread has been baked, sliced, buttered, and eaten. So satisfied. That post right there, I made some bread a couple days back, and I created this collage photo, put it on DBuzz, which, by the way, DBuzz is totally my jam. Because it's like Twitter, and I love Twitter. So it's the Hive version to me of Twitter. And so if you look, I got 11 upvotes, and that got me at this point, because I think we're still within 2 days, right? So I still have a few more days. 88 cents thus far, or 88 cents of perceived value, right? Because as Shane said, the pricing goes up and down. That's not all going to come to me. Because if you click on the little down arrow, boy, you really do need to do a techie geeky segment. It shows where it gets divided out. So yeah, boy, we really need to go into that. So don't get lost, folks.
The rewards get split up between you as the account owner and the people who vote as a reward for curating your content.
Mm-hmm. So now if you go to the next step, so that's the post that I did here, and you may think 88 cents, like, okay, sure, you know, not. But here's the exact same post, a little bit different. I said a little bit different messaging, but same photo, right? And now let's scroll down a little bit to look at the upvotes, to look at the likes. 3 likes, which is good. I'm not knocking Twitter and not saying that the 3 folks that liked this post, there's anything wrong with it. But on one inside of Hive, there's an opportunity to earn. Whereas on Twitter, it's just I'm earning goodwill and making myself happy. But the other one, I'm earning goodwill, making myself happy, and potentially earning some Hive back dollars. Mm-hmm. So well, this is the difference.
Let me point out another thing is since you just started off on Hive, how many followers do you have there? 9?
Yeah.
On your Twitter, roughly how many?
You go to my profile. You have to click. Oh, you'll have to click on me, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
There. 5,044.
Okay. So, you know, overall, I think Buzz is the winner here.
With 9 followers, folks. So that's why I wanted to show that, because to me, this is the exciting thing about what's happening in this space, is that the opportunity to still do what you would normally do, right? I bake bread, I take a photo, I share it, but to also potentially earn from the content that I'm creating. So I think that is where, you know, the excitement that I personally get from this.
Exactly. And it's pretty cool that the way that that this, it rewards you, and it kind of, I end up chimping a lot on the account.
Yeah, I don't know what that photography
means. If photography is like when you take the photo and then you look at it to see how it came out, and then you take another photo.
I never heard that before. Okay, folks, I hope maybe everyone else knows this and just me, but I'm learning every time we do stuff.
So I've been doing that a lot with Hive, because you know you post something and then you're checking it. You know, it becomes vicious at some point. but I mean, you can't help it, because it's kind of built into it. And at some point they toyed around with removing the rewards from your posts, so that way you just post. but that never happened.
Well, I the bread one really threw me for a loop. I just thought, let me do a real world comparison here and just see what happens. And I was like, holy cow, that's actually pretty cool. So I can see how that could, the more that you do it, the more that you want to do it, the more rewards you get, the more you want to post, the more you want to do.
Yeah.
But there are limits. You can't just spam in the case of DBiz, you can't just go and like, you know, rain a post after post after post after post, because that's frowned upon.
Yes. Yeah. The community doesn't like that, because then it's kind of abusive. I mean, you be satisfied if people like your stuff. And, you know, I think you can get away with multiple posts a day, but it's got to be different communities and different, you know, groups, because the posts don't always come out on the same feed, even though it's the same blockchain and people can see all the stuff you posted. And then, of course, also another thing is that I don't know if I mentioned it to you, Jennifer, is that your comments are considered posts. So those get rewarded as well. So you know, you don't necessarily have to write that. Anything.
Yeah, I did see that, because I comment on stuff, you know, that I find, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And then I notice that there's an opportunity for folks to upvote my comment. And some comments, it's like, you made a penny. And I'm like, a penny for a comment? That's not bad. Of course, then again, you don't want to abuse that either and say, let me go comment on everybody, right? So there's limits. Use your good common sense when you're participating in this space. It's not any different than if you went to a networking event. You wouldn't walk in not knowing anybody for the first time and just go shake everybody's hand and try and sell them something, right? That isn't how it works in the real world. It doesn't work that way in normal social media, nor does it work that way in the crypto content creation space, in this case, in Hive.
Yeah. As far as I can tell, there's no, you don't want to post too much original posts, but as far as I can tell, there's no limits on the comments you can post, because you are actually bringing value to the writer, you know, through the interaction. And then every post that they get or every comment is an opportunity for them also to make a little bit extra money on their, content.
So, okay, then what I just said, forget everything I just said.
No.
I was saying don't overdo the comments, because then you're just going to show up constantly. But you're saying, no, actually, that's encouraged. So maybe I misunderstood the comment aspect.
Well, I think there's no way for people to track it. I mean, and you can go and look at somebody's replies, but the community doesn't, as far as I can tell, it's not frowned upon for you to be active and commenting on other people, especially if it's constructive. You know, if you're just putting one word comments just to kind of make money, then people can see through that.
You can't just go there and say first.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, that's interesting, because I have been real tempered and measured on commenting. I'll go and look, you know, on the timeline and try and find like the 2 to 3 that I really want to comment on. And there's some others that I'd like to, but I'm like, I'm trying to keep it down. So thanks for letting me know, because I would like to be more active participant in the space. I just didn't want to be too much. You know, sometimes people are extra and that's frowned upon. And, you know, because it's a new space and I'm new to it, I'm establishing my brand and my reputation in this space. And so I didn't want to be like, if I show up in someone's comments, they're like, oh, with her again. And I wanted to be really thoughtful on that. So that's helpful. So thanks. Doesn't mean I'm going to comment on everyone's post, but it does give me, I feel a little bit more liberated in that I can be generous with my comments if I want to. You know, they've brought value to me. I want to give them value back. So cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, and again, it's another opportunity to earn a little bit of income, value for value. You're providing them some valuable feedback and they may like your comment, and then, you know, you get something back from that.
That's awesome. I love this. Okay, folks, we're going to wrap it up. We were a little long-winded, and I don't see how we couldn't have been, because there's so much to talk about. And we're going to, as we develop this further, the show further, we're going to develop more segments. If there's segments or things that you're like, hey, I'd really like it if you did a segment on this, or if you dive, went deeper into that, we're here. We're totally here for that. You know, we're wanting this to be an amazing learn, share, grow opportunity, not just for us, but for you content creators who are looking at this and going, I don't know if that's my thing. We think it could be your thing, but until you do your own research, you won't know. But we're here hoping to kind of give you ideas and things to consider as you're looking at this space. We want you to connect with us both on Hive, on Minds, on Instagram, on Twitter, and follow us on YouTube, because all these videos are going up on YouTube. Any last words, Shane, before we close out?
Sure. I think if I could summarize all of it is that what makes Hive different from your other social media is that on the other social media, you don't own any of it. On Hive, all your content you post up there, that belongs to you. That's yours. And that's where the keys come in, and it's you know, so you can keep it safe. The only person who's going to make any money off of it is going to be you. Well, maybe people who vote on your stuff, right? But as a community, you're kind of all growing together. Whereas if you post stuff on Facebook, on Twitter, and all that, they're the only ones making money off of this. If you have a blog, the hosting company is making money off of it, unless you're selling advertising and all that. But then you can always be shut down. You know, there's plenty of examples of websites that ran afoul of the powers that be and were shut down, you know, just because they didn't like the way that what they were posting. So the summary or the core message is that it's ownership. It belongs to you. This is your information, your data, and there's that freedom that comes with ownership, because it doesn't live on one website. It lives on multiple websites because it's forever on the blockchain. And that's like the key message I wanted to give everybody today.
Ownership is key, folks. Ownership is freedom. Yeah. Being controlled. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. Thank you, Shane, for sharing your experience, your words of wisdom, things for us to consider. Good thing that we didn't try and smash it all into one because there's so much to learn. Close us out, Shane.
Oh no! You know what? I don't have a tagline.
Don't have a catchphrase? All right. How about we just wish everybody well and tell them bye?
All right. Goodbye. We'll see you next week.